Hey, Juice, the only thing better than looking clean is looking clean on your own time.
No doubt about it, Big Seth. And that's why I always call my man Ara at A&T Dry Cleaners anytime I need my clothes laundered or dry cleaned.
Tell him exactly why you call Ara.
Because A&T offers free pickup and delivery at your home or office, so you never have the inconvenience of trying to find time to take your dry cleaning somewhere. They bring it to you.
That's exactly right, Juice. You can walk into their Fort Lauderdale location, but A&T serves Miami-Dade, Broward, and the Southern Palm Beaches with their convenient pickup and delivery services, which also include alterations, shoe repair, and more.
And A&T is a family-owned company, and they've been in business since 1980.
1980?
Yeah, and you know what? That means customer service is their priority.
So call Ara today at 954-610-9383. That's his personal cell we're giving you. Or you can visit drycleanertoyou.com to start making your life and your dry cleaning a lot easier.
And make sure you tell them that the Fish Tank sent you, because Ara, my man, is giving our listeners 50% off your first order.
How much?
50. Half, Seth. Half. And 25% off any dry cleaning services after that.
A&T Dry Cleaning, the official dry cleaners of the Fish Tank.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that Fish Tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, dog fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that Fish Tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Seth Levitt with none other than OJ McDuffie. Juice, how we doing today, man?
What's up, Big Seth?
I'm excited for today, not just because it's a Thursday, not just because I'm, you know, getting a chance to hang out with you again, Juice, but we snagged one. We got a big fish in
we
here
got a
today.
Big fish.
Unexpected. We didn't have to get him on the phone. We kind of took advantage of his own personal travel plans. But Vonnie Holiday, right in from the A, from Atlanta, came in, jumped in a Uber. It was about the size of it was a Scion, or something.
He was sideways in it in the back, right?
You know, you ever go to the circus and all the clowns? I'm not calling him a clown. I'm not calling you a clown, Vonnie.
He's too big for that.
But the way he's got, man, like the door opened and he like had to unfold in three different pieces. But Vonnie Holiday took an Uber all the way up to the Fish Tank Studios. What's up, man? Thank you for being here.
Everything. Thanks for having me, guys.
Man, that's what's up right there, man.
And so my Uber, man, I tell you what, man, it was like the Uber driver from hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this. Like, I told him I need to get there fast. And so he knew all the shortcuts, the back, you know, we taking back roads.
But this was fast?
Okay. I can only imagine. But he did not break the speed limit. If it was 60, he was going to go 60. And we're in 70, and then he's in the far left lane. Which drives me crazy. That's one of my pet peeves. Like, I hate.
He was driving in the fast lane.
He was in the fast lane.
Going the speed limit.
Going
in South Florida.
Speed limit in South Florida.
Man,
you saw people getting zooming by, right?
That can only happen in South Florida. Because in Atlanta, you cannot do that.
That's yeah.
True. Everyone will let you know.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't let him know. But, you know, he said fast, Juice.
Right.
This is an hour after kickoff time.
Right.
We've got this thing started. It's an hour after. But we appreciate you coming. You know, you're down here with your family. I'm sure that your wife is not going to be happy with us that you snuck away to come do this. But we are really appreciate.
Definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And we're going to jump in. I mean, you had 15-year stellar career. Certainly some great years here in Miami, which is what we like to focus on. But before we get into it, I just got – so it's you know, we know you as Vonnie, but it's Dimitri Giovanni Holiday. Like, who's the Italian guy in your family?
like imagine that, man. A little fat black kid growing up in South Carolina. And your name is Dimitri Giovanni Holiday.
Where does that come from?
Even my grandmother wasn't feeling it. Right away, I came home from the hospital. She was like, I'm calling him Vonnie.
Right.
So that's all I
so
knew.
So grandma changed you to Vonnie.
Grandmother changed me to Vonnie. And right away, that's all I knew. So, you know, I show up at kindergarten. Everyone's calling me Vonnie. But by the time I get to grade school, the teacher stands up the first day and she's calling you out. And she's like, Dimitri Holiday. And I'm looking like,
who's that?
And the kids are laughing like, wait a minute, you're Dimitri. So I learned right away. That was it only happened once. I would get there early.
Go talk to the teacher, right?
The teacher, like, look, right. I know this is my name, but they call me Vonnie. So make sure I don't want to hear Dimitri. Call me Vonnie. And I don't want any problems with these kids. But then they would find out.
Yeah.
It was always an issue.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I had that issue, too. Like, I was always OJ growing up.
Yeah.
And then I transferred to Cleveland, moved to Cleveland. And then the next thing I know, I was Otis. I'm like, Otis? I didn't know. Who the hell is Otis?
Who is Otis, man?
Who the hell is Otis, man? It's interesting that you talk about your upbringing. You said a chubby kid.
Yeah.
Growing up.
I went through, my son gives me a hard time now. This goes back to my mom's house, my kids.
He goes, finds the old
pictures.
They taking pictures, got it all on Instagram, out on social media. I'm like, what are you doing? But yeah, so it was only about 2-3 years that I went through this chunky phase, man. I mean,
that's funny because every time I see him, he's chiseled, been chiseled ever since I've known him.
Yeah.
Mom was, you know, she was sweet. I grew up in a house with five women. I don't know if you knew this, but I grew up in a house with five women, man. My grandmother, my mother, and two older sisters, and an aunt. And they were great. I mean, but they babied me. They spoiled me.
Of course.
And my grandmother's like, son, don't worry about it. That's just baby fat. It's gonna happen. And it was baby fat for a long time. I mean, we've been through 3 years of this.
Right, Mom, I'm 14. Right, right. I don't think it's baby fat anymore.
Hey, so once you grew out of that baby fat, you know, obviously your football career started to take off. You know, we had Sean Wooden in here. And Sean Wooden went on a visit to Duke, you know, and you know, he's a football player, but you know, Duke is a basketball school. You went to UNC at that point, and still probably not, still a basketball school. What made you decide to go to UNC as a football player, knowing that, you know, basketball were the big dogs on campus?
Yeah, Woody said he couldn't go to a school where the football players were actually scared of the basketball players.
Well, see, we weren't scared of North Carolina basketball players. But I will say this. You know, I don't know if you know this story, man, but, you know, Bobby Ingram's from my hometown.
I do.
And so Bobby Ingram's a receiver from my hometown. His freshman year was his senior year.
Mm.
And Joe Paterno and the gang from Penn State came down.
Man, we missed another one.
Yeah, came down. And they were recruiting him, and they saw me. And so we had a relationship for the next 3 years. I would go up to games and hang out. I knew Keijana when he was in school.
My boy.
Yeah. And so everyone thought I was going to go to Penn State. Bill Kenny.
Yep.
You know, I knew Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah,
we all
did, yeah.
And so it came down to Mack Brown coming down. And Mack Brown's a hell of a recruiter, man. He came up and won over my whole school, my whole town, my family. Education was important. I didn't feel like I was a great football player coming out of high school. You know, I felt like I was decent. I worked hard. I didn't mind working. I was very competitive. So I'm like, look, I'm going to go to University of North Carolina. I'm going to give me a good education.
Right.
Go to law school. Come back to my hometown and make a difference. But Joe Paterno comes down to my basketball game, like homecoming, and then watches me in a slam dunk contest. And I'm like, man, I can't say no to Joe Pa.
Right.
So I wake up that morning, signing day, and my mom has no idea. No one knows what I'm going to do. And in my head, it's down to Penn State and North Carolina, which makes no damn sense.
No idea. That's how I came.
What are you talking about? Man. Football player.
This is a theme on the show, by
Penn
the way.
Penn State and North Carolina.
Guys who didn't go.
Yeah, so I really did. Like, I was like, you know, God, like, help me with this. And so it came down to basically a coin flip.
You literally
we
flipped
lost
the coin. Literally
coin toss.
Wow,
and,
Juice.
And I'm glad, you know, I'm not going to lie. So, like I said, I grew up a mama's boy. I grew up in a house of five women. My mom was on disability. We didn't have a whole lot of money. So it was important for me that my mom be able to see my games. And she had some health issues at the time. So it worked out. That three-hour trip from Camden, South Carolina, up to North Carolina, Chapel Hill, was good for her. And she made pretty much every game.
And yeah, we talked about Sean Wooden, you know, and we lost him as a recruit at Penn State. And I was the guy. Who was your host, man? Who was Bobby and Keijana?
I had great times at Penn State.
Well, you had a better time than Channing did on his recruiting trip.
I had great times at Penn State, man. What a great place. Like, I never thought with the cold and I'm like, the Valley, Happy Valley. But we would go up to games and, I mean, really look forward to those times.
The atmosphere is nice, man.
It was great.
But you guys kind of changed the whole culture at UNC as well as a football program.
And Mack Brown sold that to us. You know, he came in and said, look, we're changing the culture around here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not lying. I mean, from the first time I stepped on campus where football was just like, oh, you know, okay, by the time we left, we were 4th or 5th in the country.
Right.
I mean,
our defense was ridiculous.
Senior year, we were number one.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, every guy I played with on my defensive line played in the league for at least a year.
I remember that, man.
That's getting it done.
They had a lot of guys on that team that were holding that offense down, right?
Exactly. And then D. Smith retires, and people aren't talking about basketball as much anymore because football, we're doing our thing.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
He's speaking up for the football program there. And I guess he wasn't scared. See, so the story that Woody tells is he was on his recruiting trip to Duke, and he ends up at some bar, and next thing you know, Bobby Hurley's in his face because he said that Woody was hitting on his girl. And then Leitner was there, and chairs are getting thrown and the whole thing. And Woody said he turns around, and his host disappeared. His host was like, yo, you can't be fighting with the
muscle
football
left.
Disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that they would have tried Bonnie,
man.
The same way they tried Woody.
Different story, right?
Yeah.
The DB compared to, you know, 280 is a different story.
Not
right
calling
there.
Woody soft, but they don't know. They're looking at a 5'10 guy, you know.
I tell you what, Duke, they do a good job. I actually went over to Duke, and they invited me to the wrong game. They invited me when they played Florida State.
Why would they do that?
I do not know. I mean, that team was sick.
Well, they didn't even invite Woody to a football game. They brought him into the Carolina Duke basketball game. They thought that they were going to win him over with the basketball culture.
But the funny thing is Grant Hill, Cherokee Parks, these guys come in, they come to the football game, and I'm hanging out and talking to these guys.
Now, wow.
Right.
During the football game, which was impressive because I used to watch Duke back then. Grant Hill was probably one of the best college basketball players
of all time. Not a question. Yeah.
I
have a question.
But then I become a Tar Heel and nothing Duke. Forget about it.
So you get back to that rivalry anymore, that the Duke Carolina basketball
You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody talks about it. Anytime we're playing this year, all the hype, I'm at home. Yeah. I'm trying to avoid everybody because Zion Williams and that Duke squad looks, unbeatable.
Right? They're nasty.
Right. And we're so up and down at Carolina, it's frustrating sometimes to watch, but we're on a little hot streak right now, let me knock on wood. But, all my buddies are calling me up trying to get bets because they think it's a sure thing. I'm trying to avoid. I'm ducking. I'm dodging. My phone's blowing up. So I'm like, forget this. I can't do this. I bleed.
That's
Carolina
right,
blue, right?
Right, right.
So never bet with your heart, Vonnie.
You're absolutely
as
right.
As a Dolphin fan, let me tell you, never bet with the heart.
This time it worked out. But unfortunately, Zion went down.
Immediately.
33 seconds into the game. Yeah. Then my phone starts blowing up. People want to cancel. No, that's not hard. You can't call up Vegas and say bet's off now.
Good luck with that one. So you talked about the cold weather, in visiting Penn State, and you were surprised at the great time you had in the cold weather. You made up for whatever cold weather you missed by going to the Packers.
No
drafted. You're their number one draft choice in 1998, going to Green Bay. I'm sure the weather, you have some experiences there. But what I want to ask you about is one of the themes that we hear in the tank is that when guys are drafted by the Dolphins and they come into that locker room as a rookie and they would see Dan Marino there, that it was like, it's that living legend thing. And you had some of that, I have to imagine. What was it like coming in, your first-round draft pick, you're feeling good about yourself, and you walk into the locker room there, and Brett Favre?
Well, as a football fan, the last two Super Bowls the Green Bay Packers have played in, right?
Right.
They won it 2 years prior, and then the year right before I got drafted, they lost to Denver and Terrell Davis in that Super Bowl. And so Reggie White, the man. I had a poster on my wall of Reggie White.
It's Reggie White,
Brett Favre, Leroy Butler, Gilbert Brown, the Gravedigger. I mean, you're talking about some Mark Chimura at tight end. Like, these are some big-time football players that I've been watching over the last few years. And it was interesting because the Packers drafted me because Reggie decided to retire and they needed some help in the defensive line. And Reggie, about a week or two after they drafted me, decided to come back.
That's right.
Which I'm like, you have got to be kidding.
It's a setup.
Yeah. But it was amazing. I played opposite him. He is he was everything that I'd heard about. He personified to me what it means to be a professional, to be a leader. Just a great man. As well as he played on the field, I mean, he was just an even better person.
Yeah. And, we talked a little bit before, we got on air before we started recording, but just being in Green Bay and how focused they were on football, college-type atmosphere, you went to UNC, you snubbed Penn State. I get it. But talk about that whole atmosphere there, and then we'll talk about how you went to KC and then came to Miami, the different atmospheres you might have been through as a professional.
Yeah, I definitely had an angel, a higher power, looking over me. Being able to go to Green Bay as a little bright-eyed, bushy-tailed rookie, coming into money for the first time in his life was just a tremendous opportunity and experience. Learning from guys like Reggie, from Brett, from Leroy, Santana Dotson, just that small town. I remember
was
calling
it Swabenon.
Swabenon. Yeah, but seriously,
pretty good effort, Drew.
I get on a plane and leave Chapel Hill, and I fly into Green Bay. But you got to connect. Back then, you could not fly straight into Green Bay. And so here I am, feeling pretty big, good about myself. I'm like, I'm a first-round draft pick going into Green Bay, Wisconsin, NFL. It's going to be like TV, right? So I get on this plane. I fly into, I think, Chicago. In Chicago, I get to the terminal, and I'm walking all the way to the very, very end of the terminal. I don't see the gate. The lady's like, no, you got to go downstairs. And then walk out onto the tarmac, then up.
Yeah, if they're sending you to the tarmac,
yeah,
that's usually a bad sign.
Yeah, it's a puddle jumper time.
I'm like, wow, it's going to be like a private jet or something. Yeah.
Something like that.
So seriously, I get on a plane, and it is the one stewardess, the pilot. It was two pilots and me. That was it. And there was one pilot who was like jump seating to Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know why. And so I'm like, wow, this is interesting.
It became a private jet.
It became my own personal jet. And so then we're flying in. And as we're flying in, my heart is, I'm excited. I'm looking out the window. I'm like, when are we going to get to this big city, Green Bay? It's going to be, I'm seeing fields and fields and fields and never saw the city. All of a sudden,
city?
The time we go up, we're coming right back down. I mean, it was like a 20-minute flight. I mean, it was crazy. And we landed in this airport, and I'm like, okay, well, the city's going to be, maybe I got to drive a few minutes to the city. Literally, I get into the airport, I land, and they're fans everywhere. I mean, their fans are.
They're waiting on
you. Waiting. I mean, it's okay. So here we go. Now things are picking up. We get in the car, drive 7 minutes through some neighborhoods. All of a sudden, boom, here's a stadium.
That blew me away my first time there.
Me too.
Literally, somebody's grandma lives right here on the corner, and then there's Lambeau. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah, man. In the middle of a neighborhood.
I remember, well, you know, we would stay in the Paper Valley Inn, right? Yep, yep. Always at the Paper Valley Inn.
And there was nothing else there.
Right. Well, there was nothing else there.
Right. Unless you want to stay
and that was a cool little college.
Milwaukee. Yeah. Unless you want to stay in Milwaukee.
Appleton. Appleton, yeah. Wisconsin.
That's right. That's it. Appleton, Wisconsin, and whatever university that's right there. And we would take that ride in. And, you know, every other NFL city you go to, you know, you're usually going to some downtown area, whatever. And you're looking for the big buildings, and you're waiting. I thought they were just taking a shortcut like your Uber driver. And there it is. It's like the most iconic stadium in the entire league. And dudes are like barbecuing in the backdrop. It's the stadium.
And every single house had some type of Green Bay Packer something.
Has to.
In the yard, on the porch,
yes.
Somewhere. Everybody was Green Bay Packer.
All year round. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You go up there right now, they have full, like it's game day tomorrow.
Right.
And the jerseys, flags flying. It just never fails.
My
first two, three weeks there, my girlfriend at the time, now wife, we didn't pay for a meal.
That's not so bad.
That wasn't so bad. I mean, I'm like... When I didn't have money.
Right. You're like, yo, we got to look at the menu. It's like, what can we share, exactly. man? What do you like? You want that? I'm going to get the salad.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation, right?
Now I'm in the NFL and I, you know, got a little check. I'm like, man, I haven't paid for a meal since I've been here. I mean, but that's the Green Bay Packer fan.
Yeah.
I mean, they are unbelievable. Even after I left, going back with teams, even here in Miami and I finished up in Arizona, we would go back and the fans still were very, very
so
nice
they keep that cheerful. Loyalty.
They
that's
keep
awesome.
That loyalty. And my teammates would say, man, what the hell did you do to these people?
Right.
I mean, just wore those happy. Colors.
I know Keith Jackson the same way. Keith Jackson goes back there all the time, man. They show all that love, man. But that's what that's what it's all about, though. Yeah. You know, I mean, especially, you know, when you get an opportunity and you have so much success, the love is always going to be there. For
exactly.
Guys. That's what's up.
The new year means different things to each of us, but one thing that all of us can relate to is filing our taxes. That's why for the past 15 years, I've gone to my guy Rob at ARS & Associates for all of my personal and professional accounting needs, especially during tax season. Rob is professional, he's trustworthy, and if there's something that should be on my tax return, he makes sure it's there and does not get overlooked. In addition to personal accounting, the team at ARS handles corporate work, bookkeeping, payroll, and more. So call ARS & Associates now for a free consultation at 305-653-7350 or visit their website at arsaccounting.com. That's arsaccounting.com. And make sure you mention that the Fish Tank sent you to get 20% off the cost of preparing your tax return. Start saving now.
Then Kansas City. Then in 2005, you know, you make that decision with Nick Saban. Nick Saban to come to Miami, man. What into that decision?
You know, it's interesting, and I don't know if a lot of people know this. So I was in Kansas City, and I signed a 2-year deal with a 3-year option. And my first year, I go up there, I tear it up. I had a good year. I led the team in sacks. Second year, I come in, and I got a little injury. I got a little my groin is just not feeling right, and I'm letting them know that. And which I'm trying to work through training camp and just not feeling good. I'm being, you know, at this point, I had to make a very selfish decision. Like, look, I can't go. And that was really hard, you know, with
always
with the team going against the grain, against the doctors there who got fired the next year, by the way. Anyway,
but going just for the, those who are keeping track,
going against the doctors and the coaches telling me you should play. They don't see anything wrong. I'm telling you guys, something's wrong. But anyway, we get through training camp. I get to the first game. We're playing against the Denver Broncos. Get through the game. Had a really good game. They're on a 2-minute drive at the end. My linebacker asks me, hey, you know, I want you to give this tight end a little bump. We're in a little zone coverage. So I got to drop back. Which I don't know what the hell I'm doing dropping back anyway. I mean, I do feel like I was athletic.
Right,
you know,
right.
Let me rush the passes. So anyway,
moving forward. Yeah. Athletic
so
moving forward.
I drop back. And I give the tight end a little bang. And time I hit him, I mean, my whole right side just exploded. And I mean, right away, I knew it was bad. And I was so pissed. I go to the sideline. I'm yelling at the doctors and the trainers because I'm like, this is what I've been telling you guys about. And sure enough, that was pretty much the beginning of the end of my run in Kansas City.
What was it? What was the injury?
Man, I tore my abductor longus, magnus. I mean, all these groin muscles. They're on the inside of your thigh and my lower ab. I had like 3 muscles because, you know, being a competitor I am and trying to go get that payday, after about 2 weeks, I decide against better judgment that I'm going to go back and play.
Right.
And played okay, but just continue to hurt this area. And so it wasn't until one day, probably 8 games later, that I'm getting out of the shower And my wife, by now we're married, she's like, what in the hell? My nuts are probably the size of grapefruit. And I didn't even know it.
Right.
And so I call up and go to
the doctor. You didn't know it.
She noticed those.
She picked up on it pretty quickly, huh?
Those don't look like.
Where the hell did you get those?
I knew it. It didn't quite feel right, but everything's hurting by this point. You know, I'm taking pills, trying to get through. And so
I didn't know my nuts were grapefruits.
So she, I go into the doctor, and they're like, yeah, you got to shut it down. So that I ended the year on IR, and then. Really, at that point, was at a low, just psychologically, mentally. Right. And you know what it's like to gear up and go into offseason and train. And when you're injured, trying to fight back. So I was really considering, like, maybe it's just time for me to shut it down. You know, it's seven years in. I've had a good run. They said the average is 3.5 years.
Right.
I've beaten the odds. I've gotten a contract and a half of one. But then Nick came. You know, Nick Saban calls me up. And I'm like, who the hell? Nick Saban?
Right.
Wait a minute. That's a college guy. And now he's at Miami. But we had a great conversation. I was in Atlanta. We had a great conversation. He got me to come down to Miami. And
what was his pitch?
You've never talked to him before?
Never met Nick before. He comes in.
Did he recruit you in college?
I wasn't even recruited by Nick. Where was Nick at that time? At Michigan State at the time.
Yeah.
And I never thought twice about Michigan State. Thought about Michigan for a second, but not Michigan State. But then I go to Carolina. Anyway, so he calls me up and I come down on a visit. And I think Kevin Carter's here too when I'm down. We were both here at the same time. And I'm talking to Nick and all of a sudden something just felt right. You know, I like the way he talked to me. He's like,
that's something you don't hear often, Juice.
Not for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nick. For the most part, when he talks to his players, he didn't give the raft to the players. He gave it to the coaches.
That's what we've heard.
Right? We've heard that.
Now, sometimes on the field, like I was having a conversation with someone earlier today as we were fishing, the captain Taco today, and he was like, what's up with Nick Saban? I'm like, well, this tells a story to me. When Zach Thomas curses you out, there's an issue. Because Zach he's the guy you want on your team. He's going to go out. He's going to work hard. He's going to do his job. He's that guy. But Zach almost choked Nick out in practice
right,
one day.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Well, we had Zach in the tank, and he talked about that.
Yeah.
Zach always tries to be diplomatic and PC, but you could see he started thinking about it. He started shaking a little bit.
He was hot. And so Keith Traylor, I think
it's all about respect.
Tanning was about to go get Zach, and Keith Traylor's like, no.
All right, y'all, man, let him get this one now.
I think he wanted Zach to go ahead and get him.
Yeah. Apparently, Truck and Nick had an interesting
relationship.
Yeah.
Interesting relationship.
Yo, Nick.
Hey, Nick. Yeah. We heard that one. We'll have to play the Channing episode for you. But you didn't have that issue, huh? You and Nick, you guys hit it off.
We were okay. Yeah. You know, I didn't ask for much. I mean, at the time, my wife was pregnant. We were going through a difficult pregnancy. He was real understanding, and I would jet out, you know, when we had a day off and come back. So he was.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
As long as you worked, he worked the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie. I came in, and Dan Quinn was his D-line coach, and Dan would come out with his cleats on. And he sold me because he's like, oh, you're going to love this 3-4. You're going to be playing, you know, over the tight end.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to be playing over the tight end. We got big Keith Traylor. We got big Kevin Carter, who's going to be playing the 3 technique and kind of inside shade on the tackle. You're going to be on the other side. You don't have to worry about that. So I come into camp, and I'm not fully ready to go. And so I'm watching camp the first week. And KC swimming double teams, Kevin Carter is swimming double teams, and Nick and everyone's going crazy because we're getting gashed in a run game. All of a sudden, I come in, and now I'm the damn 3 technique.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Take on the double.
I'm the 3 and the 4-eye. I'm playing inside with it, getting double team. I'm like, are you serious?
And
like,
knowing they want you to actually take it on.
And then I'm like, I'm going to be playing opposite JT because he's going to be playing on the other side most of the time because I'm going to be – I could not believe it. I was so upset with Kevin Carter. I mean, that's probably why. I mean, at first we didn't really hit it off, but you're supposed to be in here eating these.
Right,
these
right.
But I'll say this. Through those hard practices, I became a better player. I mean, it was a grind, and I hated it, but I became a better football player and learned that 3-4 scheme and that position. And Nick told me, he's like, look, you come down here, I'm not going to lie, we're going to give you a 1-year deal. You're coming off an injury. But if you play well, you ball, you'll get paid here. And sure enough, I came down, had a decent year, and the next year they gave me a long-term deal. So nice. I was here for 4 years after that. And then Parcells and those guys came in. And
the next regime.
Yeah, we try not to talk about that. Yeah.
They don't give us burn on this show, man.
And he called me up talking about, hey, we want you to take a pay cut. And I'm like, why?
Right.
I mean, I played with the same guys. We can let us compete. If I don't get the job, if I don't win the job, then
let
give me a
go.
Pay cut then.
Yeah,
or let me go.
Right.
Or let me come in and compete. I even said, hey, how about I'll take the pay cut, but let's structure it in a way that I can earn my money back.
And what'd they say?
Wouldn't do it.
That makes no sense to me.
Here's the thing. I felt like I was a stand-up guy. I felt like I was a professional here, you know, and Parcells didn't even call me back.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Heard that, too.
I definitely heard that. Didn't even call me back.
Yeah. So my agent's calling me, and he's panicking. I'm like, look, at the end of the day, if they don't want me, because that's what they're saying, you know, they don't want me, we're not going to play this game.
And Arthur Blank was waiting for a call back from Parcells for a while. He didn't get it. Parcells did him a favor, though. Right. You know, right? That same draft, he drafts Jake Long down here, and they got Matt Ryan. Right. One of those guys is still playing.
Yes.
Still playing.
Yeah.
Jake Long had potential now. I mean,
he's a hell of a player.
He had a hell of a career until he got.
When you can get a quarterback, like
we're seeing that now, right?
And Matty Ice now, Atlanta fans, you ask them, because they've had a quarterback. They don't know what it's like to kind of go through what you got.
That's exactly right.
What we go through down here as Dolphin fans, but they give Matty Ice a hard time. But.
Yeah.
I hear that. I argue with my buddy all the time. You guys have no idea.
Yeah. You know, it happens in a lot of cities. You get a lot of wins, 11 or 12 wins.
The Eagles were ready to run Donovan McNabb out of town.
They eventually did.
You know, and he's going to NFC Championship game after NFC Championship game, a couple of Super Bowls. We'd die for that down here. We'd kill for that right now, you know, and it's amazing because you see all these other guys, you know, you see the Roethlisberger, obviously Tom Brady, when they're winning these championships, and you got a guy that was drafted so high, still there, still making a ton of money, but not getting them over the top. I mean, I get it sometimes.
Yeah.
But we all know, though, Vonnie, it's like, can't do it by yourself.
You can't do it by yourself.
It's impossible to do it. We did have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and couldn't get it done by himself. I know when I was there offensively with Danny, it was ugly.
Yeah,
it was ugly at the end.
To say the least.
Beginning, it was nice, but then we didn't have a defense. And then you know what? We just didn't get it done. I'm no excuses.
Yeah, just didn't get it done.
You know, but yeah, it's tough. That's a tough deal.
That was crazy coming into as a rookie playing against the Dolphins and Dan Marino.
Yeah, in 98.
I mean, by then he couldn't really move.
No.
He still had a hell of a release.
Let that thing go.
So quick.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how is this guy still getting it done? I mean, you come out here, I think he had two knee braces on, but he got it done.
And an Achilles brace.
Yeah.
Everything.
The big tall shoe and the whole thing.
That's right.
Big boot.
Right.
We led the league in receptions that year, though, Big Seth. Me and Danny, 98. We killed it that year.
He knew how to find OJ. That's all Juice needed to know. The rest of you guys, I can't get it done. So, all right. So, you know, I keep trying, Juice, I keep trying to find the guy to come out here and badmouth Saban. And, you know, Zach to help me out a little bit. But, yeah, Pat loved him. Pat sent his damn son to him for crying out loud.
I saw that.
Yeah, golly. And, you know, and JT, forget about it. Now, we haven't had JT on the show yet, but. We know that's going to be his love child.
What are you talking about?
Exactly right.
What are you talking about?
He loves him some Nick Saban, but I understand why. Although everybody does say that they left Nick a better player. And I have to say, I mean, you know, you just said it again. Yeah. I mean, the amount of guys that said, JT, how much football they learned from him.
No doubt about it.
It's impressive to hear that from veteran.
Yeah, his staff from top to the bottom. I mean, top to bottom. They were very good teachers of the game. I mean, I came in here, I think it was year 8, and I learned so much from guys.
That says a lot right there.
Yeah. So now you talk about the quality of teachers they had on that staff. In 2005, when you came down here, they had an interesting draft class. A couple of guys who played on your side of the ball, one in particular who spent some time in your in your meeting room. And, you know, we talk about teaching and how good of a teacher you needed to be when you have a guy like Matt Roth. So Channing told us some really interesting stories about Matt, and that was his running buddy. But you have to have, you know, to have those two rooks come in. Those are not your average rookies that are coming in for different reasons. You have to have some good Channing Crowder and Matt Roth stories.
I've never seen, I mean, two. First of all, that whole draft class. But I mean, by that time, I've gone through 7 drafts. And in comes Channing Crowder and Matt Roth. I mean, you talk about a special bunch. I mean, special bunch. I mean, where the hell? They're making kids different now. Yeah. That's what I said.
Well, they made them real different with those two.
And Matt Roth. I tell my kids, I tell people the story all the time. I remember one time, because he was always playing around. And so we were in the locker room one day during all-season conditioning. And so I'm leaning up against the doorway, waiting to go out and run. And Matt, being his usual self, he comes up and he puts a lizard on my shoulder.
A lizard?
A lizard.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I guess he thought I was going to be afraid and jump or something. So I take the lizard and I was like, hey, Matt, I'll give you $100 if you eat this lizard.
Oh, no.
He's like, $100. You see the hamster just goes. The hamster starts to take off. You know, the hamster's. He's like, no. I said, what about $200? He's like, no. All right, it's like, final offer, $400. You eat this lizard. He's like looking around. I'm like, there's no way Matt's going to take $400 to eat this lizard. He takes the $400, eats the lizard.
He ate the lizard.
Sick. He didn't get sick right away. So we go out and we run.
Wait,
we
so back. like he swallowed it whole?
Look. He holds the lizard up, and it's like that movie V. I don't know if you remember the movie, the show back in the day when we were kids with the rats. He took the lizard, popped it in his mouth. You see the tail wiggling, and he chews it up.
What, he chewed it? Oh, my God. Matt Roll chewed the lizard.
He's like, nothing's there. It's all gone. I mean, you see the little stuff in his teeth.
Oh, man, right? That's nasty.
Yeah, it was disgusting. So,
how many people are around?
It had to be 40 guys. I mean, we were about to go work out. You know, this is like group two of the workout session.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we go out to practice, to run. We come back in. And Matt, you know, I didn't even think about it, but he had to disappear. So the next day we had a team function. So his girlfriend comes up to me. She was like, oh, my God, Matt was so sick last night from eating that damn lizard.
She knew.
She knew about it.
So he went, oh, babe, I ate a lizard. Come on. What was that conversation like?
But he was that guy. I mean, we paid Matt Roth to party boy Nick after a game. Anybody tell you that story?
No.
So I don't know if you remember that show with, it's like the Jackass movie, those guys, the whole crew.
Sure.
Where the guy would put on the little... not the thong. What do you call it when you're on the beach?
Speedo.
The little Speedo. And he'd go up and party boy just on the street. Some random guys just comes up and starts dancing on you. And so we were in a defense meeting room, and we're like, hey, Matt, if you party boy Nick, you know, we'll each give you, I forget what it was, $100. And then it was $400. Then I think we each said $500. You know, Matt.
That was the negotiator.
He clearly was a hell of a negotiator.
So sure enough, after the game, Nick's up giving the celebration speech. All of a sudden, Matt Roth has on his jock strap, goes up, and party boys Nick. And Nick's like, what the fuck? Get the hell away from me. Get this guy away from me.
This is after an actual
this
game.
This is after a game. He party boys Nick. We tried to get him to party boy Mr. Huizenga, but he wouldn't do it.
That was going to take more than $500.
He wouldn't do it.
Hey, that reminds me of the rookie talent show that they were a part of, right? Where yeah, Nick had
I didn't want to get into that.
That's already been discussed.
That was that class. Yeah. And Channing was just as crazy.
Yes.
It may be crazier. Right.
Possibly.
Because it sounds like Channing actually knew what he was doing and was still crazy.
He was methodical. Crazy. Yeah. Yes, I mean, there was a method to Channing's madness. He would talk so much shit on the field. I remember, I think we were playing, I don't know if it was Pittsburgh and Ponce. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, would somebody tell this rookie to shut the hell up? Like, who is he? He's the one guy. Who is this guy? He's the one guy on the team. You got Seau, you got Zach Thomas, you got JT, Kevin Carter, you know, Truck.
Channing
Crowder. Channing Crowder is the one that's doing all the talking.
That's too funny, man. Yeah, you talk about those two as rookies. I remember when JT came in as a rookie, he was quiet. You know, he was trying to feel his way through it. Those guys came in like right away, like, yeah, here we are.
In your face.
We're part of it, right? Here. Well, JT had a hell of a career, which when you were part of that, you know, you talk about Nick and how JT was his, you know, love child, or, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, obviously, he got him a Defensive Player of the Year award and everything. But, you know, you guys had to have some good memories with each other, playing with each other. Tell me anything about JT, his boss, that, you know, we might not know about JT.
Yeah, thankfully, he doesn't listen to the podcast.
I like to give him the business already. Sometimes on the side when he doesn't know we're talking about him.
First of all. JT didn't give him my props. Who played beside him when he got those 17 sacks? I can't remember the number and the player of the year. I think that's happened like three times in my career. JT, Elvis Dumervil, and Joey Porter.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're the guy.
I'm just saying.
You took up
there's
the
a
double
common
team.
Denominator.
Well, yeah. Kevin wouldn't take up the double team, you took the double team, still, so they have the one-on-one.
When my knee hurts now, I'm still mad.
Still mad at Kevin Carter.
Lower back pain. I'm still mad.
Do
at
you
Kevin
watch
Carter.
College football Sunday?
I
you
do
like,
watch
yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, I do watch.
Goddamn, KC.
Looking all fresh and everything.
Looking all clean up there.
In his suit.
Tay Diggs up there doing his interview. Yeah, but JT was always my wife and. Now we call him Super JT because, you know, he's like bigger than life, especially down here. But he is he was a class act. He's the kind of guy he brought me in and kind of put me under his wing, even as a vet. You know, I was a vet too, but he was just a class act. There was this one time, though, he's gonna get mad about this.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Where JT was always playing games, like on the sideline. You know, you take all those protein shakes and, you know, it gets you a little gassy. So he's on the sideline and he's passing out, like laughing, like, ha ha ha, because it's the worst smell. Ha 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 ha.
You give that line, did you fart? Because
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, exactly. So
thanks, JT.
All of a sudden, he's like, oh, watch this one. And all of a sudden, his face changed. He's like,
oh.
And I'm like, what?
No.
He sharted, man.
Yeah, he did.
He sharted. JT sharted in the middle of the game. And so he stood up and he was like, "Hey man, can you see it?" And we're like, "No." He's like, "You can't see it."
He wearing white pants or aqua pants?
White pants.
Oh no.
So he had to go over it and just get on the ground.
Oh, dirty. See, now the different Channing would embrace that.
Yeah, Channing is disgusting. Yeah. Oh, JT. Channing went out with my family today on the boat fishing this morning.
Oh, you were with him?
With Channing. And Channing told my wife and my son about what he does during the game.
Taking a knee? Yeah.
And so I had told my son about a guy I played with, but I didn't give him a name.
Hey, son, remember that guy?
Yeah.
Here he is.
That guy's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
You have no idea, son.
But so JT, I will never forget that. Like his facial expression, like
he was just so shocked.
On his face. Oh my God!
So what game? We got to go back and watch some film now.
See where
he didn't run into the locker room.
Yeah, the dirtiest ass. When we see his ass, the dirtiest. We know what's really going on.
He couldn't. Literally, I think we were on the sideline. He was playing around. Next thing you know, it was like an interception. What happened a lot when we played here. It was an interception. We were back on the field. 3 and out.
Right.
And so, yeah. That's a JT story.
That is a fantastic JT story.
That is great.
I was going to ask you one about the Channing set, but I would not have expected that. And, you know, it's funny. That's one I don't know, Juice.
I can't believe he don't know that about JT.
Well, that's not something he ran home and told
me.
True.
But he did it in front of a bunch of people. Now, yeah. He had a lot of witnesses, but we finally got the truth out of him.
We
got
to figure out what game that was, Vaughn. You have to, look that one up.
This game.
So Channing, actually, during that, well, I don't know, well, it must have been 2005. It had to be your first year with JT because that was the year you guys started rough and then won 6 straight after that Cleveland game. Channing tells the story of that Cleveland game and how depressing it was and how they were supposed to be shitty. And then, you know, they come out there and kick our ass. And JT was infuriated by certain individuals who he felt perhaps quit during the game. I don't have to call those people out. We'll let somebody else do that. But he then went in the locker room and just exploded and apparently said, "If you guys want to quit, fucking quit now. Don't come back to Miami and I'll pay your salary for the rest of the season."
That is a true story. And I actually forgot about that. But yeah, JT, you know, he's a leader, but he's not a guy that kind of loses like that. And I didn't know that side of him. And of course, it was very frustrating during the game because like JT, I'm a competitor and some guys definitely quit in that game. And JT came in and I think coach started talking, but he just lost it. He just took over the speech. And I mean, he was fired up. I'd never seen JT like that. But he spoke to some people, to their souls, and things changed.
Did you guys play any fast football in the offseason at all?
We played it, but I don't think we played it here.
Okay. We played that a lot. And JT, speaking of competitive, he kicked the fucking football, you know, to the next field, you know, get mad at whoever's keeping score. Yeah, same thing with basketball.
That's like his thing, right?
He's just an asshole sometimes out there, man.
No, he can be that now. He JT love him, but he can be an asshole. He definitely can be that. And I used to, Kevin Carter and I used to give him a hard time. First of all, but about the size of his head. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I mean,
at least the way.
The guy should be very, very, very smart. That's probably why he was the head of the team. But we give him a hard time all the time. But
he's going to take this out on me.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to pay the price for this.
Of course.
But he is competitive, and I guess he would lose his stuff sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very competitive guy.
It's good, man. But that's what, I mean, that happens to guys that reach the pinnacle, get to the top of their game, man. Because if you're not competitive, then, I mean, you're lost.
Are you saying you can understand and appreciate a guy might lose his shit over competition?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you ever been there, Juice?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah.
Juice has motherfucked me on the basketball court.
Man, he won't shoot the damn ball, man.
For not shooting the ball. Actually, speaking of JT, it was a defensive issue.
Yeah.
He didn't think I put up enough of a fight defensively.
Against JT?
I mean, I get it, Vonnie, giving up a layup, man. But you can't give up a layup from the top of the paint. You know what I mean? You got to play a little defense.
I mean, it was a fast break. I was back on defense, and he's just right. It's him. I mean, I'm still trying to have a job, and what am I? What kind of fight am I going to put up? Like, I'm going to lose miserably in that fight, regardless.
Sure. It wouldn't have been pretty, but hey, you would have went down fighting.
Yeah,
so.
That's great.
Have some basketball IQ and just foul him at the top of the key and just stop
grab
the job,
onto
like,
him.
Live the fight another day.
So. Yeah, I had some basketball IQ and I had some employee, some job security IQ, but Juice let me have it from 80 something feet away. And that's when you knew the competitor that he was.
I used to hear about those games. By the time I got here, they weren't playing.
No. Well,
those
were
the good old days.
Yeah, I was all banged up, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to have anybody over the house anymore. I was so damn mad, Max, I couldn't play. Because at the end of my career, when I got hurt, you know, guys were still coming over, and I just saw them run up and down the court, and, you know, the competitiveness, and I couldn't participate. So I was like, you know what, nobody. I was that spoiled kid.
Took his ball and went home.
Took my ball
and his court.
Closed the gate, let the dogs out, and nobody can come over.
I was actually looking forward to that because I call myself a little bit of a basketball.
And that's because he went to North Carolina?
Not because I went to North Carolina. It started back.
That's why he didn't go to Penn State, the basketball program.
Yeah. I actually thought I was going to go and try to walk on, right? Or at least be on a JV program. But after that first semester, I didn't redshirt. I came in right away and played. And I'm like, I cannot do two sports.
Right.
I don't even want to think about it. I just want to chill a little bit and relax.
And they probably didn't want you to do it. Although they had a guy who did it pretty well.
They had a guy that did it pretty well. And Greg Ellis, who was a number one draft pick for the Dallas Cowboys, he played on the JV team while we were there.
Nice.
He and Octavius Barnes, a receiver out of there. Yeah.
Wow.
So we had some guys that played both sports.
So what is Vonnie Holiday up to today? What are you doing with
yourself? Aside from fishing with Channing Crowder and squeezing into Ubers.
These kids, man.
Yeah.
You know, spending time with my kids. I was fortunate, man. 15 years in the league. I kind of took care of my money. The league was good to me. And I had an opportunity once I got done playing to be selfish and to hang out with my kids and take them to school and pick them up. And, you know, my daughter's 19 now. And she's
19?
Yeah, she's a Florida State girl.
Wow.
In her first year of college. And she's
in the conference, huh? She's in the conference.
Which – don't even get me started on my wife and my daughter.
Some recruiter took her to the wrong game, too. Huh?
Don't even get me started. I mean, it went from, like, some small liberal arts school out in California, then in Boston to, hey, Florida State has everything I need, and it's at a fraction of the cost, which she's a smart girl.
Right.
So her first year has been abroad. She's been in Spain, hanging out in Valencia, and found out.
Just outside of Tallahassee.
Yeah. Living a life. Budapest last week, last weekend.
Damn.
The Czech Republic. Like, she's all over the place. And this week, she just texted me saying she's headed to Amsterdam to see the Anne Frank Museum or something.
Wow.
Yeah. Not even the museum. I think it's the actual house.
Yeah.
Right.
The actual space, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
I'm like, you're living a life. I need to.
Is it like a gap year? Or is she on a gap?
No, she didn't. She's just her first year, so she's taking classes. Florida State has a campus in Valencia. Like, they have two buildings. They have classes. They have.
Who knew?
And then they actually attend some of the university, the local university. They have some classes there. So hanging out with her doing that. And then my son is 13, so I've been coaching basketball, baseball, and football for the last probably 6 years.
That's awesome.
Football since I retired, which last year was my fifth season out. And so, making anniversaries and retirement parties and mom's doctor's appointments, and so it's been pretty cool. But then also, my wife and I got involved with clean eating, so we got into urban farming. We have a farmer's market where we sell produce, but, you know, we also use the produce in the kitchen, and we serve soup, salad, sandwiches. Oprah Winfrey just actually stopped in.
Really?
The whole Stacey Abrams run for governor.
Yeah.
So we get a call up at the restaurant 2 days prior, and they're like, well, Oprah's in town and Stacey Abrams, and we're going to be leaving, you know, a certain part of town, and you guys are kind of, we're looking for a good place with good food to kind of post up for a couple hours, eat, and kind of.
So you have an actual restaurant?
It's a farm and table. So it's like a little deli. You got some tables in there. It's pretty cool.
That's
good
tight. Food.
Good I don't know if you hear my stomach. I'm kind of hungry now.
Yeah, can't do that. But, it's dinner time.
Yeah, man.
So we have like, you know, no antibiotics, like, or, you know, organic fit, you know, all this grain fed chicken, beef. And so it's really good. It's a challenge, but it's
so he stays in shape.
It's in a food desert.
What's the name of your place?
It's called Jim Adams Farm and Table. Jim Adams Farm and Table, 2011 Bolton Road, Atlanta, Georgia.
Nice.
On the southwest side, upper west side. And then I also just got into tuxedos. And
Seth,
you know this. So when you're a player, I mean, all these suit guys coming in and out of the locker room, selling you, getting you looking.
Well, we
good.
Had Tony Eguas in here, so we know the whole suit guy
you
game.
Yeah. Well, this one guy has actually been in Atlanta, and we've been kind of friends. He comes over and plays cards, and he's been telling me about this idea he's had probably for the last 10 years. And so about 3 years ago, we really started to talk about it. I let my wife listen to the conversation, and she liked it. It's an online tuxedo company called TheWeddingStoreForMen.com. And so we kind of focus on the wedding space, but we have tuxedos for anybody who wants it. Any style, you name it, we can get it for you. We can get it.
I think that's great. So OJ, his rookie year, when he came down, you know, you talked about your experience when you flew into Green Bay. Now, he didn't have to go on the puddle jumper and so on. He had a great flight in, but then when he got there, his luggage was gone.
Lost all my
right?
shit. Lost
and,
all my shit.
And he got ushered to a photo shoot and then a meeting, and they and Stu Weinstein took him for a tuxedo rental. All right, we actually have pictures of this. So he had to do a photo shoot on a beach in a tux.
Sweating
and then
like
wear the,
sweating like hell.
And then wear the same tux to be introduced to the South Florida community. I don't think he's worn a tux since. So maybe you guys could connect on this.
And the tux was probably ill-fitting. Didn't really
it wasn't,
solve
it wasn't
your
right. You know, right
Stu
here.
Weinstein
yeah.
drove him to pick up the tux. You know?
Yeah, you can, and that, that's
they didn't
what we
have
did.
The athletic fit exactly. or athletic cut back then.
So, yeah, so that's man. What we cater to. Like, we give you that Euro fit that I mean,
right.
it looks good. And it's all $2.99, a tux in a box. You get the whole thing, shirt,
no
tie,
idea.
Shoes, yeah. everything.
Vonnie just turned the fish tank to like Radio Row. Right, man. Right, we haven't had anybody here come in and pitch like you. That's impressive.
And then also, you know, I don't know if you know this, so I started training and mentoring guys coming out and getting ready for the combine.
No, but I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
You can tell us now.
Yeah. And so Chip Smith trained me coming out of college.
Okay.
And we've, you know, kind of throughout the course of my career, I would go back and get, you know, a little touch up here and there. So he calls me up about 2 years after I retired and said, hey, you know, I'm trying to add a new piece to my training. I want, you know, guys like you to come in and mentor, but, you know, train specific, you know, position-specific mm-hmm. training. But really, I want you to talk to these guys, too, and mentor them and let them know what they're about to embark upon and things like that and bestow some of that wisdom, he said, on them. I'm like, I don't know about the wisdom part. But
he was just working you, Vonnie. He was trying to bring you into the family.
I've definitely played a long time and I've seen a lot of things. So I give it a go. And I really, really enjoyed it. You know, it kept me in shape, kept me like a feeling a part of the locker room with these young
right.
guys. And they would actually listen. I mean, I didn't really have any assholes. These guys were good guys, and they were there to
They must
work.
Not be any good.
I know. and so they came in, and from that, you know, agents started calling me up like, hey, you know, I got a guy at University of Kentucky, first rounder. I want you to go and work out with him. So I'd fly to Kentucky, Lexington, and work with a guy a couple days a week. And then all of a sudden, veteran players would call me up. Hey, I got a guy in his third year. You know, he's
wow.
He's right there. He just needs to hear from a guy like you. I mean, I think you can really help him out, you know, not only working with him, but just talking to him, getting his mind right. And so that kind of has parlayed into what I do now. So I got to.
You do a lot of shit.
Yeah, man. Busy. Staying busy.
Yeah, I got about a dozen guys that come back to Atlanta and we get it in.
Now, do you kind of work it all together like Wayne Huizenga style, where you're like, you know what you guys knew? You guys got to get into clean eating. So it's not just what you're doing on the field. You got to get into clean eating. And when on draft day, I got to do you kind of work all the businesses together?
I have not been.
That's the next level.
That's the next level.
They've got to get over to Jim Adams Farm and Table, man.
I really don't do a good job of that. I just started doing that.
It was
really
very impressive what you did here, man. You stay after and take a couple spots for us? You did a hell of a job. Well, look, man, I appreciate the fact that you're here on vacation. And, you know, I don't know that Ebony appreciates it, but I appreciate the fact that you jumped in the Uber, the slowest moving Uber
smallest,
in all time,
slowest.
And drove an hour to come
in
hang out with us.
In the fast lane.
An hour in the fast lane. How's that even fucking possible?
Slow in the fast lane.
So really appreciate it, man. It's great to see you. Vonnie and I get to connect every now and then. I think the last time I saw you was in Canton, which was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. Thank you for
you almost didn't go.
Part of that. You're right.
You almost didn't go.
I almost did not go. I'm so glad. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
Juice, man, I got to get it together. You know?
Yeah, I know. Got to do it, man.
Yeah,
just do it, man.
Juice knows.
At first, it's hard, right?
You know,
at first, it's hard when you're away from the game and the game keeps moving. And then you find yourself in that atmosphere and you're around the guys and reconnecting. And it's just, it's the best.
It is the best. That's what this is all about right here, man. It's, being able to talk about. That's what we did anyways, man. That's one thing you miss. I joke all the time. Vonnie's like, the only thing I missed about football was Sundays and paydays. But then you miss that locker room atmosphere. And that's what it's all about.
I take a beating at home, man. Like, I need to get around my guys. I forget who I am or what I've done sometimes. Between my wife,
I know that story. I've seen that movie.
Low man in the totem pole.
I've seen that movie before.
Like, my son, I'm like, you're not very good for my ego right now, my self-confidence.
Tell your mom stop showing the little fat guy pictures.
Something.
That might be a good place to start. Well, seriously, man, great to see you. Appreciate you've always supported us from the foundation's perspective. And you know, another guy, Juice, that I talked about, it's hard for me to imagine. I didn't actually work with Vonnie because he came in 2005 and I was already gone, but I feel like just based on a relationship that we did work together all these years and it was great to have
stuff,
you in the tank,
man. Definitely enjoyed you.
Thanks
enjoyed
for diving in, Vonnie, man.
Am I gonna hear the theme music or
no?
We'll send you the link after we post it, man. That's all done in post.
That's all I want, man. That's why I'm here, man. I heard the song.
We got
I'm
you
all
man.
In.
Solo D crushed that thing. Glad you like it.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Who that?
Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank, it's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Dog fans with attitude, okay, we gotta dive up in that fish tank. Hard. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tales, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. That fish tank. Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dolphins with Adam.